Without introduction, it's my joy to welcome you to our festival of Christmas, and that's the small preview of what God has in store for us this hour. Our prayer this morning is that God is going to use this beautiful music and the powerful truth of Scripture to speak to hurting hearts, bringing this assurance that the tangles and the mysteries and the pain in our personal lives, because Jesus was born, will one day then be transformed into something good. To give us assurance that this same Jesus who came to us at Christmas is now with us this morning in this very place. And he's here to enable us not only to endure, but to conquer tough times in ways we never dreamed possible. We're expecting God to act this hour. And we already know from two previous experiences that he can do that. And he can surprise people, opening frozen hearts, healing wounds that people thought could not be healed, and giving hope to people who almost dared us to make them hope because they had such pain in their lives. Our text in Romans reminds us that our Christmas hope is not a guarantee of freedom from personal suffering. Rather, we're given assurance that God meets us in the midst of our need, and through the miracle of his power, he works everything, good and bad, into something good for those who love him. Therefore, for you who approach Christmas, perhaps this very morning, suffering from the pain of hurtful memories, loneliness, anguish over what has happened, or fear about what will happen along life's pathway. In other words, for you whose reservoir of hope and expectation for a Merry Christmas appears to be running on empty, I want to tell you, this service is for you. Jesus is Emmanuel. God is with us now, and we can dare to hope again. Let's stand and sing a hymn of praise.
Let's bow together in prayer, offering our words of adoration. Our Father, today we have come to celebrate the hope that is ours through the birth of your Son, Jesus Christ. We're humbled, astounded, and inspired by the change that this one gift has made in our lives. Make us aware of your presence this hour. Continue the miracle that Christ's birth has brought to a world hungry for hope and starved for salvation. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Before you're seated on this crisp morning, let's give everyone a big Christmas hug so you know who you're sitting next to. And you may be seated. As you're seated, we'd like you to close in as carefully as you can and closely toward the center aisle and toward the wall, and that way our latecomers can be seated, and they can come in right now and be seated if you would like. Just close in, and it's a cold morning, so you know being close will help. That way as many as possible can be seated. In a few moments after the choir, the rest of you, if you want to, can come and be seated on the stairs here. We'll give you a moment to do that. as the children are leaving, if you in the back would like to have a seat for the whole service, you may sit here on the steps and the ushers will bring you forward right now, and you'll be comfortable, and we invite you to do that, or you can remain standing.
The scripture today may be found on page 983 in your pew Bibles. We'll be looking at Romans chapter 8. You may wish to turn there and follow along. This is one of those sections of scripture that perhaps no other words have brought more comfort throughout history than these words by the Apostle Paul. Paul outlines here the hope that the Christian has when faced with difficulties. We'll begin with verse 18. I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not of its own will, but by the will of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to decay and obtain the glorious liberty of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning in travail together until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with sighs too deep for words. And he who searches the hearts of men knows what is in the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. We know that in everything God works for good, with those who love him, who are called according to his purpose. Amen.
Christ is Lord today.
You know, there's something about the music of Christmas that just almost demands our offering, a clap offering to God Himself to create such beauty and to warm our hearts. And I hope that's already started in your heart. If you were one of those whose reservoir was running on empty regarding Christmas hope, I trust the floodgates have begun to at least trickle, and wait till the end of the hour. We'll see what God's going to do. This is not Christmas fluff we're offering today. This text in Romans is one of the great passages of that great book. And here's the first truth that it gives us about Christmas hope. Christmas hope brings confidence that God will one day transform all of the tangles and the dead ends of this life into a pattern of beauty. We can stake our lives on that truth. Our text says, "For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God, for in this hope we were saved. All things work together for good." Because our Savior has been born, we can have a confidence that one day this same Jesus will come again as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and at that time He'll unravel all of the mysteries of human pain, and He'll answer all of those questions for which we do not now have answers. Our text says this about hope: "I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us." There's a time up ahead when God will have the last word, and He'll answer these questions that right now in so many of our hearts seem to deny His love, seem to indicate He's not there at all. One day, Jesus will bring meaning to life's unsolved mysteries, even though evidence in the present seems to contradict that possibility. I need to tell you that that kind of confidence that God is going to work is power. That's a power to endure, a power to conquer personal pain, even at Christmas time. Or, if you please, particularly at Christmas time. If you're a football fan, last week's 49er game could have been much more pleasurable the first half if we could have known what was going to happen the second half. There were moments when I couldn't conceive how the Niners were going to turn it around and win that game, and I was ready to trash him at halftime. But Dr. Clint, who is the team physician, told us there was never a doubt in the mind of those players at any time in the game that they were going to win. They knew they were going to. That's what it's all about. Hope in what God is going to do in the future is like knowing the outcome of a ball game, even though right now it looks pretty bleak in this quarter. And maybe you're having one of those kinds of years. But God isn't finished with you yet. He's not finished with any of us. He has some plans. It was hope, in fact, that motivated Paul the Apostle to write these beautiful words for us. "We're afflicted in every way, but not crushed and perplexed. We are perplexed, but not driven to despair. We're persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. We don't understand why things happen as they do, but we don't give up and quit. So we do not lose heart. For this slight momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison." You can count on that. That's assurance of how the game is ultimately going to come out, because God is in control. Christmas hope calls you today to look beyond your present circumstances to what God is doing behind the scenes. For you know who know about tapestries, perhaps it's like looking on one side of a tapestry. It might appear as a tangle of knots and broken ends, but maybe in this hour, God's going to give you a peek on the other side. And there on the other side, you're going to see this beautiful pattern emerging, being created by God's love for you. Confidence that all the broken ends in our lives will one day be unveiled as a beautiful design of God's love can do a beautiful thing for you this year. It can enable you to enjoy a Merry Christmas in spite of the bad things going on in your lives. Why? Because Emmanuel is here. Emmanuel means God is with us. The gates of hell can't prevail against whatever is going on and happening to you, and that hope is a cause of celebration.
We want to alert you to the special Christmas offering, which will be received next week. You'll note from the cover of the Pioneer the breakdown of that offering. Also, then a reminder of our continuing deficit in the capital funds drive. We still need about $145,000 to finish out the work on the heating ventilating system. And of course, we need to remind you of the ongoing need to pray and to support the ongoing budget of the church. Well, today, as our ushers come forward to receive these tithes and offerings, we need to remember that our offerings are more than just a symbol of our love for Christ. In a way, giving is a central core of what our worship is about. How could we possibly outgive God, knowing what He has done for us through Jesus Christ? So as we take these offerings this morning, let's reflect for another year and thank the Lord for the blessings that another year of knowing Jesus in all of our lives and all of His majesty has meant in our lives.
Thank you.
Let's pray together. Lord, take these gifts now and use them as a praise to your name. Let our song of love be eternal and full of gladness for all the many blessings you have given to us. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, amen. Please be seated.
There is a second truth about Christmas hope in our text. Christmas hope gives us the joy of knowing that our personal pain is a catalyst for discovering closeness to Jesus. There is potential joy in the midst of deep pain. That's a very difficult truth for us, particularly as Americans, to understand. The reason is that pain, in a way that we don't fully comprehend, brings us closer to our Lord than any other of life's experiences. A study was done of cancer patients, revealing some important facts about human suffering. All of these patients in this particular study had sought the help of support groups with whom they discussed their disease. None of the patients were happy they contracted cancer. Most were shocked and frightened initially by the experience. However, in retrospect, they viewed their disease as a blessing because it put them into contact with their mortality. It made them aware of their need for divine help. And above all, it taught them how to live more fully every day than they ever believed possible before their illness. They refused to ever waste time again. Such positive attitudes had a remarkable impact, not only on healing their cancer, but on preventing its reoccurrence. How does that impact us? We learn that our attitude toward tough times has everything to do with how we cope and what impact tough times has upon our life. There's a truth in that old cliche, one person's tragedy is another person's adventure. Consider the difference between these two reactions to pain. First, God, why did this happen to me? And if you're a God of love, where are you? Versus, God, what are you going to teach me through this experience? I don't understand what's happening, but I do know that because you're with me, you and I can handle anything together. Hope brings God into the equation of human pain, and such an addition makes all of the difference. You know, it's fun to be up here watching the cherubs sing and then watching you mothers out there respond to their waves. And, you know, all over the point of the congregation, it was like, hey, mom's here. The little one's a little frustrated up here, a little frightened, but she or he found reassurance by seeing you. And I thought at the moment, you know, that's how it works with Jesus. When we're in pain, when we feel all alone and we're a little scared, through faith, we can somehow see him out there and he's waving at us and he's assuring us in a way, hey, I'm here and it's going to be okay. Don't fall apart. Hope brings God into the equation of human suffering. Unfortunately, most of us will do almost anything to avoid suffering. One psychiatrist writes, this tendency to avoid problems and emotional suffering inherent in them is the primary basis for mental illness. A spiritually healthy person confronts and works through pain, holds on to faith in Jesus, knows that he's intimately involved in what's going on, and then seeks to squeeze the nectar of meaning from that experience rather than falling into despair and depression. You know, as I look back on my life, and I'm amazed that I'm using that term looking back now, I can't believe I'm that old, but I realize that times of suffering were my greatest times of closeness to Jesus Christ. Tough times gave me a knowledge of his tenderness and of his power in ways I would have never known had I had sunshine all of my life. It was when I encountered desperate personal need that I learned Jesus was enough. You see, closeness to Jesus is not found by roasting chestnuts over an open fire, as our culture would seem to indicate. Closeness to Jesus, believe it or not, is found in the fires of suffering. Fires that help us rediscover the meaning of this Christmas message. Emmanuel, God is with us. He hasn't gone away. And because Jesus is by our side, we can handle anything. Everything is going to be okay. Our text uses the term travail, which refers to the agony of childbirth, a pain that is bearable because we know it is ultimately leading to life, not to death. Knowing Jesus is with us in our pain energizes us to do something uniquely Christian. We can actually celebrate that we're going to make it through the storm, and he gives us confidence that one day our Heavenly Father will transform our greatest heartache into something good. Now that's an incredible hope if you can grasp it this morning. I want you to look at this wreath. It's a very beautiful wreath. There's almost 500 roses there, and each rose is backed up by a letter, and I have a stack about that high, a letter describing how God took an impossible situation, performed a miracle, and turned a heartache into a treasure. For you who are guests, 2 years ago and last year, we handed out a rose to everybody at the service, and we said, hold this rose till God answers that impossibility in your life. That wreath is the result. God does answer prayer. He is close to us in our time of need. I hope you're going to see him somehow waving out there at you today, reminding you you aren't abandoned. Christmas hope reminds us we serve a God who takes Good Fridays, horrible situations, and he makes them into Easter mornings. And this is the fact why we Christians ring all the bells, pull all the stops, and do anything else we can do to celebrate at Christmas time. By now your hope quotient is rising. That's what this text should do. And here's a third truth I want to share with you from the Bible. A third truth about Christmas hope. Suffering leads to glory. Our text reads, I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. Glory is a very beautiful word, usually associated with Christmas, and yet most of us don't really know what it means. Biblically, glory is what happens when the character of Jesus begins to be reproduced in us. Glory is the miracle of growing from infants preoccupied with our own pain into spiritual adults who become sensitive to the pain of others. Glory is a joy in heaven when Jesus can say to his Father, "Father, look what's happening to those disciples you gave me. They're growing up and they're becoming lovers like you and I, for you and me." Glory is what happens when we realize that Jesus is not a divine umbrella protecting us from suffering, but he's a rock of stability upon which we can build our lives when the storms rage. A relationship exists between glory and suffering because there's a correlation between becoming like Jesus and experiencing pain. Suffering reminds us this world is not our permanent home, but a day is coming when we'll share the glory of Jesus forever. Christmas glory brings us this assurance: after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, establish, and strengthen you. Jesus said, "In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." God says, "I know the plans I have for you, plans for welfare and not for evil, that you may have a future and you may have a hope." I want everyone here to know today that because of Jesus Christ, you have a future and you can have a hope. The good news of Christmas is that Emmanuel is here. Jesus is with us, and he isn't ever going to leave us. And truly, there is no other name in heaven on earth like the name of Jesus. I hope in these next few moments you're going to appreciate that name in a way you never have before, because Jesus is the hope that will fuel our Christmas expectations for this year.
You.
are so aware this morning that beautiful music in itself, a choir, an orchestra, an organ, none of those are really sufficient to heal broken hearts or to give you hope. We could give you Christmas fluff, as we call it, an emotional good feeling for 40 minutes, but we wanted to do so much more than that today. We offer you Jesus Christ, born in a manger, crucified on a cross, and a resurrected Savior who is with us after the concert ends and who goes with us into next year. He was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And he said, "Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." And our real prayer for this morning is that God has used this time to fill your reservoir of hope. And it's in that context that I wish every one of you a very Merry Christmas and would invite you to join the chorus now as we sing praise to Jesus. Would you stand?
Thank you.
Let's receive the benediction. And now may the love of God, the grace and mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit send us forth from this place knowing that the hope we have from Christmas only comes from what Jesus Christ can give. Amen. And
please.